Good. But when it comes to fear and trauma, they don't want to go there. They don't want to face the truth of our collective suffering. I've elected to hold space for that conversation rather than perpetuate the shame and avoidance by shutting it down. Seeing someone with gentle compassion dissolves shame and brings the past to the light for healing. This transformation begins with you. It's time to practice radical compassion for yourself so you can embody this message in your own life. You don't have to take on the suffering of others, nor do you need to turn your back on it. Compassion creates connection. Practice the message now. Develop unwavering self-compassion. The first way to practice this message is by developing unwavering compassion for yourself. We often talk about self-love, and many of us have self-care practices. But despite these efforts, we still struggle to show ourselves compassion. Instead, we judge ourselves for every mistake, every wrong word, every awkward moment. We even judge ourselves for being out of alignment with our spiritual practice. Treating ourselves with compassion means we forgive our judgment of ourselves. We're going to keep judging, of course, but through compassion, we can release our judgment and swiftly come back to love. When you learn how to be compassionate toward yourself, you access peace quickly. You're more loving and compassionate towards others. You show up for yourself and the world in a more powerful way because you're not expending all your energy on self-judgment and self-attack. Once you forgive your judgment, you can start focusing your energy toward a higher purpose. Compassion is a power we can all cultivate. This practice comes more easily to some people than others, and that's okay. Honor your process. My therapist once helped me recognize that whenever I'm lacking self-compassion, it's because in some way I feel unlovable or not good enough. This idea was alarming at first because it forced me to face my deep feelings of shame and inadequacy. But the more I thought about it, the more I accepted she was right. Why would I attack myself if deep down I didn't feel lovable or good enough? With this realization, I faced my innocence. The child part of myself in some way picked up a story that she wasn't lovable, that she wasn't good enough. As I pondered the effect this had on my child self, I began thinking about my own son, Oliver. I started to think about how I would speak to my son if he told me he felt unloved or unworthy. What kind of energy, love, connection, and compassion would I show him? What words would I use, and what positive self-talk would I encourage? How would I teach him to compassionately love himself? Recognizing how I would mother my son helped me realize that I wasn't mothering myself that same way. Why wouldn't I give myself the same love and compassion that I would unequivocally give my son? You would never speak to a child the way you speak negatively to yourself. This realization led me to put the message into motion and direct my compassion toward myself. I devoted time each day to this practice, and it transformed me. It gave me a new sense of safety, inner peace, and self-love. It became easier to release the cycle of negative self-talk, and it made me more consciously compassionate towards others. This miracle of self-compassion is available to you now. Ask yourself this: how would you speak to an innocent child if they were coming out of a meltdown? Think about the loving words and energy you would offer them. What tone would you take with them? Would you slow down your breath and focus your attention on them? Consider all the ways you'd extend loving compassion to a child. Then apply the same degree of love to yourself. Practice the message now. Be compassionate towards yourself. Take a moment to write down some ways you could speak to yourself compassionately. For instance, when I notice myself stuck in a negative thought pattern or self-judgment, I allow myself to feel the feelings of rage and anger. I honor those feelings and ask myself, in what ways do I feel unlovable or not good enough at this moment? Upon realizing these feelings, I compassionately guide myself back to self-love. I'll say something like, "Gabby, here's your wound again. You're uncomfortable with this. It's all good. Here it is. It's just presenting itself to you one more time so you can get closer to healing. Congratulations for having the willingness and the strength to look at this wound. I love you, Gabby. You're incredible for showing up this way." When I do this, my inner wisdom can come forward and show up for the weak, wounded ego part of myself that is still unable to see the light. These simple words catapult me into a place of calm. This is a practice of self-soothing, self-love, and self-compassion. When you use loving self-talk, you will come back to a place of deep love, compassion, and peace because you're allowing yourself to be wherever you are and experience whatever you're experiencing. You're not resisting. You're trusting that the universe is giving you what you need in order to heal. Bring this practice into your daily life. Whenever you catch yourself in negative self-talk, follow these steps. 1, consciously notice your negative self-talk. 2, ask yourself, in what ways do I feel unlovable or not good enough? 3, speak to yourself the same way you'd speak to a child. Be loving, forgiving, and deeply compassionate. Take as much time as you need to speak to yourself with loving kindness. Practice these 3 steps all throughout the day. Make it a habit to love yourself. Cultivating love and compassion for yourself benefits your relationships with other people too. You'll come to realize that the more loving and compassionate you are toward yourself, the more love and compassion you will receive from others. Other people are always reflecting back to you what you believe about yourself. If you believe you're worthy of love, you will receive more love. When you're compassionate towards yourself, you allow yourself to be vulnerable. Your authentic truth is your magnificence, and your willingness to let the world see you in truth is your greatest contribution. People will feel closer to you in the presence of your self-love and vulnerability, and as a result, you'll form stronger bonds and more intimate relationships. Self-compassion is one of the most important elements of a healthy relationship with yourself and others. Practice the message now. Turn to compassion when you feel judged by others. When we feel judged by others, we tend to defend ourselves and attack them back, or internalize the judgment and feel unworthy. And of course, many times we do both. Either response is a recipe for disaster. When we defend against the judgments of others, we actually perpetuate the judgment because it implies we've done something worthy of defense. Defending against judgment gives the attack more power. We can also have the opposite response, which is to internalize the judgment. Internalizing a judgment puts us into a state of self-hatred and unworthiness. When you feel judged by another person, the feeling can be a result of your own insecurity or of an actual attack on you. Whether the other person is judging you or not doesn't really matter. What matters is that the energy of someone else has triggered you to feel separate, attacked, and alone. The way out of this feeling is to first return to your practice of compassionate self-talk. Lovingly say to yourself something like, "Here I am again, feeling judged. This person is merely reflecting back to me their own judgment of themselves, and they are the perfect mirror for me to reflect on how I may be judging myself. I thank them for that. I know it's uncomfortable to feel these feelings, but I'm so proud of my awareness. I'm proud of my willingness to be compassionate toward myself. I love myself too much to judge them back or judge myself more. I release this feeling of attack through my desire to feel love and be loved." Love is the only response to an attack. Whether you respond directly or energetically, all that matters is that your response is backed with love. This doesn't mean you don't stick up for yourself or express how you feel, but it means you respond with an energy that doesn't reinforce more attack. Giving love to another person is the fastest way to stop the momentum of the negative energy and feel better right away. A Course in Miracles says, "In my defenselessness, my safety lies." When you practice defenselessness, you remain in an energy of compassion toward yourself and others. This is because defense is just another form of attack. Instead of judging someone who has judged you, love yourself back into alignment with kind, compassionate inner dialogue. Next, silently thank the person for giving you an opportunity to practice self-compassion. Then offer the same love and compassion back to them through your words as well as your energy. If your words are not backed with genuine compassion, they will not feel it. For instance, I once felt very judged by a friend. My immediate reaction was to want to make him feel bad about his judgment by stonewalling him. But instead, I turned to the message and chose compassion and love. I gave myself a few weeks to cool off, Through practicing compassion, I was able to see that the only reason he was judging me was because deep down, he was judging himself. This new perception allowed me to see him in a totally different light. Then, when he reached out to me, I was able to send him love rather than negativity and defensiveness. I was able to lovingly and constructively express my feelings to him without shaming or blaming, and I was able to offer support to him with his upcoming projects. Had I reacted without compassion, I do not believe I would still have this friend in my life today. What's most exciting about this practice is that you will begin a new energetic trend. When someone feels they've received your love and compassion, even after attacking you, they'll have an easier time facing their own reasons for attack. In the midst of love and compassion, it's hard to believe in your own fear. By responding with love, you not only save yourself from a negative spiral, but also help the other person learn the power of compassion. Whether they realize it consciously or not, they will be faced with their truth, which is love. Practice the message now. Forgive. The greatest act of compassion is forgiveness. When we forgive someone, we recognize them in their light and innocence. We compassionately see them through the lens of love rather than the lens of the past. Once in a talk I gave, I shared how I still carried resentment toward a therapist. She'd treated me during my early 20s when I was deep in the throes of drug addiction, but hadn't admitted it to myself. I held on to resentment toward her for two reasons. First, I was upset because I felt she should have been conscious of my addiction. I had shown all the signs, but she didn't seem to figure it out. Second, I was offended that she sometimes fell asleep during my sessions. This seemed completely unprofessional and outrageous to me. At the time, I couldn't make sense of her behavior. I was angry and I felt neglected. And as soon as I got myself clean and sober, I realized how careless she'd been with my treatment. Fast forward 15 years, I'd written 8 spiritual books on love and forgiveness and given countless talks on the topics, but I was still angry with the therapist. I never even attempted to forgive her. Instead, I just allowed myself to hold a grudge for a decade and a half. Then a miracle happened. After I'd shared in the talk that I still resented my former therapist, one of my students emailed me and said, "Gabby, I'm angry with you. You teach us the practice of forgiveness, but in this instance, you haven't forgiven." On this day, my student became my teacher. She was kindly reflecting back to me an unresolved resentment of mine. Sometimes we believe that if the person we resent is no longer in our lives, we can hold on to our negative feelings without real consequence. But the consequences are very real. Have you ever heard the expression, carrying a resentment is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die? When we cling to resentment, we hurt ourselves. If I continued to hold resentment toward my former therapist, I would just keep avoiding the deep-rooted feelings that needed to be healed, such as feelings of abandonment. Not only that, but my resentment could also infiltrate my future therapeutic relationships. When we become conscious of the feelings that live beneath the resentment, we can then take care of ourselves and release the other person. When we resent someone, the fastest way to forgive is by activating compassion. When I read the email from my student, I took the cue and turned inward to find forgiveness for my therapist. I let my mind wander to the good experiences I'd had with her in treatment. I honored her for being a part of my journey. Then my thoughts led me to remember a time in the middle of our treatment when she had to take a month off because of some serious physical pain. With my desire to forgive, I recalled her mentioning something about taking medication for her pain. Today, I have a much better understanding of what pain medication can do to people, and in the midst of my recollection, I felt great compassion for her. As I took the time to think about her circumstances, I could see how her pain and medication held her back from being fully aware of what was going on with me. It was a clear and simple explanation for why she sometimes fell asleep during my sessions. She was in pain. She was suffering. While I couldn't completely pardon her actions, I could forgive her. I could see her with love and compassion and honor her for what she went through. I was so grateful that my student called me out so I could clear the resentment and send my therapist love. I know somewhere she's feeling that love today. The idea of forgiveness can be daunting, and at times it can even seem impossible. But the clearest path to forgiveness is through compassion. The moment you recognize the suffering of another human, you can recognize yourself in them. you both suffer, and you both want to feel good. Recognizing your human connection helps you release the resentment so you can see their innocence and honor their suffering too. Practice the message now by applying it to someone you've been resenting. Think about that person. Give yourself the opportunity to consider all the reasons they may act the way they do. How could they be suffering? What is unhealed within them that allowed this behavior? Remember, this doesn't mean you excuse someone for being abusive or try to justify reckless or hurtful behavior. This means you remember that we all suffer. You remember that a happy person wouldn't harm someone. Seeing them in their suffering allows you to accept their innocence. Once you've honored their suffering, pray for them. Pray for them to have exactly what you want for yourself. Pray for them to be at peace, to feel safe, to be happy. The moment you pray for them, forgiveness sets in. A prayer is a temporary reprieve from your ego's need to self-protect. Prayer unites you with the other person through your loving intentions. A prayer offers up your grievance to spirit and invites a miracle into your consciousness. That miracle is the shift in the way you perceive the other person, to see them in their innocence and honor their suffering. Praying for them to have what you want unlocks a sacred part of your being. This profound act will reunite you with the presence of love within you. Practice the message now. Meditate on loving kindness. There is a type of meditation in the Buddhist tradition called metta, aka loving kindness. This is a technique in which you cultivate feelings of love, goodwill, and warmth, and then energetically send those feelings to yourself and others. Offering loving kindness to yourself first is imperative. You cannot fully love another without loving yourself. When I was beginning my spiritual practice, I did this meditation daily. It was a gentle reminder to love myself in the midst of whatever challenges I was facing. I found that the more I meditated on loving kindness, the more compassionate I became. I was less reactive, less afraid, and more conscious of my own feelings and the feelings of others. This practice helped me feel more connected to both friends and strangers, and it strengthened my divine connection to the universe. Loving kindness meditation unites us with the truth of who we are, which is love. Throughout our lives, we've encountered countless obstacles separating us from the presence of that love. Practicing loving kindness swiftly leads us back to the truth. Allow me to guide you now into a loving kindness meditation where you can embrace your true essence and surrender to love. Begin with yourself. When you develop love, kindness, and compassion toward yourself, you cultivate more love for others. Sit comfortably and close your eyes. If you're driving, you can just listen to the words. Make any necessary adjustments to your posture so that you feel totally comfortable and relaxed. Breathe in gently. Exhale gently. Listen to the following intentions and repeat them silently to yourself. May I be filled with loving kindness. May I feel supported and safe. May I have love and compassion toward myself. May I live with ease. Repeat these words of loving kindness to yourself once again. May I be filled with loving kindness. May I feel supported and safe. May I have love and compassion toward myself. May I live with ease. Now open up the energy of loving kindness to someone you care for, someone who loves you and supports you. Take in the feelings this person ignites in you and allow yourself to deeply feel your appreciation for them and then share this offering of loving kindness with them. May you be filled with loving kindness. May you feel supported and safe. May you have love and compassion toward yourself. May you live with ease. Now think of a neutral person. This is someone you see regularly but don't have a close relationship to. maybe a teacher at your child's school, a cashier at the grocery store, or someone you follow on Instagram. Bring this person into your awareness now and repeat the words of loving kindness. May you be filled with loving kindness. May you feel supported and safe. May you have love and compassion toward yourself. May you live with ease. And now bring into your awareness someone you've had a difficult relationship with. Choose a person you don't feel overwhelmingly triggered by. Perhaps it's someone who judged you or made you feel uncomfortable. Or maybe it's someone who just pushes your buttons. Remember that no matter how much this person has harmed you, they suffer too. See this person in their innocence, deserving of love and kindness. Recognize their suffering, their sadness, their anxieties, and their fears. Do your best now to extend these words of loving kindness to this person. May you be filled with loving kindness. May you feel supported and safe. May you have love and compassion toward yourself. May you live with ease. Now open up your awareness to all beings everywhere, including yourself, all humans and animals from every part of the world. May all beings be filled with loving kindness. May all beings feel supported and safe. May all beings have love and compassion toward themselves. May all beings live with ease. And now bring the practice back to yourself. May I be filled with loving kindness. May I feel supported and safe. May I have love and compassion toward myself. May I live with ease. Sit for a while and enjoy the energy of loving kindness as it permeates your being. Feel the connection to all beings. Recognize the great relief that comes with expressing loving kindness. And when you're ready, gently open your eyes and come out of your meditation. Practice this meditation daily to cultivate the energy of compassion and loving kindness, remembering that compassion begins with yourself. When you learn to love and respect yourself fully, you'll naturally want more for others and you'll celebrate their happiness. Self-love and compassion clear space for your true nature to shine through. Compassion creates connection. Take this message seriously. In every moment, we are bombarded with more and more reasons to feel separate from others and alone in our feelings and experiences. But the moment one person practices compassion, an energetic union is ignited. A moment of love is enough to create a miraculous shift, and the subtle shifts we create on an individual level ripple outward. We're contributing either more love or more fear to the world with our intentions. What we put out is picked up all throughout the world, consciously and unconsciously. Living a compassion-driven life ensures we're committed to spreading love and making a positive imprint on the world. Let love enter into your mind, energy field, and daily life each time you practice this message. This message will clear your blocks. Whenever you're stuck in negativity or fear, ask yourself, in what ways could I be more compassionate? Then return to one of these practices to live the message. Practice unwavering self-compassion and let it become a habit. Turn to compassion when you feel judged by others. Forgive. Meditate on loving kindness. Living this message will change you in profoundly deep ways. The biggest gift it will give you is a greater sense of presence. When you allow yourself to be vulnerable enough to compassionately love yourself and others, genuine peace sets in. I experienced this in the months following my son's birth. Self-compassion is what saved my life when I was in the agonizing depths of suicidal thoughts and postpartum depression. It's what allowed me to take my time and be patient through my recovery. When I came out of that horrific period, I experienced the suffering of others in a whole new way. I could safely feel people's pain on a deep level without empathically taking it on. I understood that by exercising real compassion, I had the power to help people feel safer. In my live lectures, I was more affected by the stories audience members shared, not in a boundaryless way, but in a healthy, nurturing way. I felt a fierce desire to speak up for what I believed was right. I felt called to donate and fundraise even more for life-saving causes. The lives of all individuals mattered to me in a new and profound way. When I read letters from readers, I found myself being moved to tears. I no longer kept other people at a safe distance. I was experiencing them with the greatest presence I'd ever known. I actually noticed this shift while watching a movie at home. This was right around the time that the 2020 Oscar nominees were announced, and I had some friends over to see the movie Jojo Rabbit. Within the first 30 minutes of the movie, I felt extremely triggered and distraught by the storyline. I was overwhelmingly disturbed by the young boy being trained to be a Nazi during the Holocaust. Watching the boy running through the streets saluting Hitler while Jewish people were shipped off to concentration camps, I was struck with a feeling of grief and panic. I was so uncomfortable that I excused myself and left the room. What was strange about this was that I had been brought up learning about the Holocaust in Hebrew school, at Jewish sleepaway camp, and in my youth groups. Even though the stories of the Holocaust were always taught to me, I'd never let myself truly feel the magnitude of the tragedy. But the next day, I let those feelings in. I let myself weep in my husband's arms. I told him stories of my grandmother, Margot, who survived the Holocaust. I'd never been disarmed enough to allow genuine compassion to come through. Some things are far too terrifying for us to truly contemplate. I asked myself, why now? Why am I only able to confront this at the age of 40? Why did it take me so long? An intuitive response came from within me. I could see my resistance to letting in the horrific sadness of the Holocaust. Now, through my commitment to compassion and my spiritual growth, I could safely face my feelings without being taken down. That's the intention behind this message. We can no longer be silent or apathetic about wrongdoings. We must use our healthy compassion to inspire us to acknowledge the suffering of others in an impactful way. We must feel true feelings in order to be inspired to create change. Compassion creates connection because it realigns us with our oneness and gives us direction on how to be a force of love in the world. As you practice these messages, you will become more and more comfortable living with compassion. In fact, you'll have a greater sense of presence when you allow yourself to experience real feelings about what's going on in the world. Without taking an honest inventory of those feelings, you can get stuck in the primal fight or flight mode. But when you give yourself permission to pause in the energy of compassion, you can experience major relief. Compassion is a gift you give yourself because it's a positive way of processing your feelings. Show up for this message to create more space in your heart so you can be of great service to the world. Compassion is required of us now. As we move into the final message, take your compassion with you. Let it support you as you take on the big responsibility of trusting your own intuition. The final message calls on you to let go of needing outside sources to make you feel safe. Instead, it gives you the power to accept that you are the guru and that you have the answers and clear direction within. The sixth message, you are the guru. I have something to confess. The first iteration of this audible original was based on my interpretation of sutras taught by a late spiritual teacher I'd followed. I had been moved by his sutras so much that I decided to use them as inspiration for the lessons in this book. But just weeks before I was scheduled to submit this manuscript, I received very troubling information about that teacher and behavior that I considered, if true, to be totally unacceptable. I felt gutted by the allegations. Not only was I terribly disappointed by this so-called guru, but also I felt embarrassed because I'd spent years spreading his message. Deeply upsetting stories of his behavior began to circulate throughout the internet and the spiritual community. My immediate choice was to respond publicly by confirming that I was standing with the victims. I didn't defend his teachings or the power of the practices. Instead, I called out his harmful actions and took a stand for what was right. Sadly, this wasn't the first time I'd experienced this type of disappointment from a supposed guru. Over the years, I've experienced horrific truths revealed about people I'd once quoted in books and praised on stage. I'd even placed their images on my altar. Each time another guru was exposed, I felt a deep sense of shame. I felt ashamed that I had backed their messages and ashamed that I had introduced their work to others. I also felt the shame of the community that exalted them. When we praise someone as an idol only to watch them fall, it can feel as though we fall with them. I wanted so badly to believe in my teachers. I wanted their work to live forever, and I wanted to support their spiritual messages that had influenced me so deeply. But each time the truth about them was revealed, I felt my spiritual foundation shake. After learning about the latest allegations, I went back to my manuscript to remove the so-called Guru Sutras and assess how much I had to rewrite. As I read over my words, I realized that none of the content actually needed to be changed. While the chapter titles were inspired by his phrases, all the content was my own. The entire manuscript was built on my own personal experiences, lessons I've chosen to live by, and meditative practices I rely on in my own life. What I came to realize was that the truths I share here are universal truths. All spiritual messages come from the same source of love. As an author, I am here to help translate and share, but I am not your guru. I am a translator whose job is to remind you of what you already know deep within you. While I hope my work is a source of inspiration and a catalyst for your own spiritual development, I am not your guru. You, my friend, are the guru. Each practice in this audible original is meant to inspire you to return to the truth within yourself. Living these practices can become second nature because they're merely a reminder of who you really are. I've given you methods for reconnecting to these truths, but I in no way invented them. These messages are based on a universal curriculum that we all have access to at all times. Whether you realize it or not, deep down, you know you have an unlimited capacity for kindness. You know you have an inner presence of love guiding you. You know we are connected, and you know you're not alone. The world we live in has built up a wall against these truths, but practicing the messages will restore your faith in who you really are. When people come up to me at live events and say, "Gabby, you changed my life," I say, "No, I didn't. I told you a story and guided you to a practice. You did the work. You changed your life." I mean that with all my heart. I don't take credit for the lessons I teach. I am not your guru. I am a student inspired by the truth, and so are you. The reason you found your way to this audible original is that you're ready to remember the guru within you. You're ready to take your life back and reconnect to your true power. True power doesn't come from your credentials, social status, or any outside source. Your true power lies in your committed connection to love. The more you tune in through meditation, prayer, kindness, and inspiration, the more connected you will feel in every area of your life. When you live the messages, you will cultivate a new relationship with your inner guidance system. You will know exactly how to tune in when you're out of alignment. Then, the moment you realign, your intuition will come forth. That inner voice of intuition is your true power, and most of all, it's your companion on this journey that is your life. Having faith in your ability to connect to spirit will give you a sense of calm because you'll know you're taken care of and that you're never alone. Whenever you feel the need to make someone special or turn them into an idol, remember this important message from A Course in Miracles. Seek not outside yourself, for it will fail, and you will weep each time an idol falls. The Course emphasizes that the peace we are seeking cannot be found outside ourselves. It encourages us to give up the lingering dream that someone other than ourselves can bring us peace because the peace we long for is already within us. The message is then reinforced. Seek not outside yourself. The search implies that you are not whole within and that you fear to look upon your devastation but prefer to seek outside yourself for what you are. This may be challenging for you to hear. We spend so much of our time focused on separation. Whether we realize it or not, we make idols of our lovers, friends, bosses, celebrities, and teachers. Unconsciously, we think it's easier to rely on someone else for our happiness because then we can also blame our discomfort on someone or something other than ourselves. But what we forget is that our true happiness is found in our spiritual connection and in our capacity to tune in to the ever-present source of inspiration within us. Whenever we put someone else in front of our own inner wisdom, we will be left disappointed and afraid. When I say that you are the guru, I am reminding you that you have all the answers within you. Welcome the inspiration of others, but always remember that the truth is already within you. When you live the messages of this book, you will learn to trust the guru within you. Each message offers you a way to deepen your connection to your own intuition and inner guidance system. Living with these messages will help you feel a sense of freedom knowing that you already have the answers. Let these messages be a source of inspiration to help you access your inner guru. Make them your own. Each message helps you clear the false belief of separation and reconnect with the wholeness of your spiritual foundation. You have your own spiritual connection, and you can access it through the guidance of these messages. Just repeat the message out loud to yourself, and you'll be catapulted back into alignment with love. The simplicity of these messages is the reason they work. Keep it simple, and let each message awaken your guru within. When you live the first message, see through the lens of love, you will recognize that no other person is superior or inferior to you. This message helps you remember that we are all made out of love. We all come from love, and we all have the same desire, which is to feel loved. When you make an idol of someone, you are choosing to see yourself as separate, less than, or not good enough. Idolizing someone is a sure sign that you are out of alignment with the first message. Right now, look closely at how you may have made someone an idol. Think about how you feel when they don't live up to your expectations. Or as with my situation, recall a time when an idol has done something devastatingly disappointing. Maybe a family member let you down, or a romantic partner broke your heart. You may feel some shame for their wrongdoings because when an idol falls, you can feel abandoned, betrayed, and terrified. Relying on other people to be our source of safety, happiness, or strength will always lead us to feel disappointed and afraid. By no means am I suggesting that you don't have faith in the people in your life and rely on them to care for you. I'm asking you to see the difference between trusting in their good nature and putting all your safety and security in their hands. There is an important distinction between healthy reliance and idolatry. When you make someone an idol, you will inevitably fall apart when they misstep. At this moment, you can commit to returning to the first message daily. You can remind yourself of our connection. We all have the same love within us, and we all have the same choice to make every day on a moment-to-moment basis. Do we choose fear or do we choose love? Misalignment from the truth of love is what leads people to harmful acts. Love can be present in all situations when we choose to live the first message. I know it sounds like it can be impossible to see with love when you feel harmed or terrified. I have felt the struggle to live this practice when I get hooked into news and stories about politics, racial injustice, sexual violence, and countless other horrific acts. But when I choose to lean into the negativity of others, I become separate from the love within us all. When someone does something harmful, what's at the root of their actions is their disconnection from love and their belief in separation. Separation perpetuates more separation, and it leads to war, injustice, crime, and fear. You can contribute to that fear by reinforcing separation, or you can create powerful change by living the first message. See through the lens of love. Living the second message, surrender to creative solutions, will help you if you've experienced an idol fall. Instead of seeing their shortcomings or harmful actions as shameful tragedies, you can see them as opportunities to deepen your connection to your own inner wisdom. If you struggle with the realization that your idol is not who you thought they were, then this message will remind you that your inner wisdom, Your connection to spirit is all you need in order to receive the creative solutions you long for. This is your chance to accept that you are the guru. The peace you long for is within you. The safety you long for is within you. The strength you long for is within you. Let any misperception of others be your chance to pivot now. You can see clearly today that no one outside of you can save you. Your safety lies within. Living with the attitude of the second message will help you shift every area of your life. You will be inspired to look for the good in people, the lesson within a problem, and the opportunity for growth in all situations. The other promise of living this message is that your energy and attitude toward life will change. By surrendering to creative solutions, you will no longer need to control your circumstances. Instead, you'll let the universe show you what to do. This level of surrender is a shift that will transform you as a person. It will make you more positive to be around, and it will activate your attracting power. When you surrender to spiritual guidance, you feel supported, inspired, and excited to move forward in life. That energy is what makes you a magnet for what you desire. The worldly benefit is that when you live this way, you remind others where their true power lies. When you're open to infinite creative solutions, you live in the solution. Living in the solution is a life-changing practice that benefits you and the world. It offers you great resilience and inner strength. Right now, as I create this Audible original, we are in the midst of a pandemic. People all over the world are desperate for a sense of control and reassurance in the midst of serious health and financial fear. The other night, I found myself binging on YouTube videos about the virus. I became obsessed with figuring out all the details of this global problem. Not surprisingly, I barely slept. The next morning, I carried terror and fear into the new day. I had to catch myself halfway through the day and notice how my pessimism was making me see absolutely everything through a negative and fearful lens. The second I realized what I was doing, I chose instead to be open to creative solutions. I surrendered and asked, "What can I do right now that will get me into the energy of solution?" The answer was clear. I could pray for healing rather than let the worry and chaos take over. I could be proactive about my health and well-being, get good rest, and think positive thoughts. I knew that in that moment, when I felt utterly powerless, I had to live the second message and seek solutions rather than problems. When we assume the habit of seeking solutions rather than problems, then we truly become the guru. Living in the solution allows inner wisdom and intuition to come forth. When we listen to and live by our own inner guidance system, we can become the guru of our own lives. From here, you can practice the third message and take inspired action. With your newfound knowledge that you are the guru, you can strengthen your trust in your own inspiration. Do not question your inspiration any longer. Instead, act on it. Have faith in what you intuitively hear, what you dream of, and the inner nudge you receive out of nowhere. You are the guru. Live this source of inspiration daily and trust it fully. When you take inspired action, you'll feel proud of yourself. That pride will help you confidently claim the truth. You have the most powerful source of love moving through you when you rely on your inner wisdom. Embracing that you are the guru strengthens your faith in your own inner wisdom. Which brings us to the fourth message. In stillness, we receive. When an idol falls or faith is shattered, while it's very painful at the time, ultimately this is a good thing. We must shatter our faith in outside sources so we can return to our faith in our own inner wisdom. Our gurus aren't always spiritual teachers, of course. We often make idols out of people in positions of authority, which is something I used to do. One way I projected my faith outside myself was by relying on others' opinions. Whenever I found myself in a situation where I was afraid or struggling, I'd seek counsel from the experts. An expert could come in the form of a doctor, a lawyer, or a renowned professional. There's nothing wrong with asking others for advice or perspective, but we cannot let their words overshadow our own intuition. When you practice the fourth message, you will know that your intuition is your greatest source of power and guidance. In some cases, your intuition may lead you to an expert for additional support, but it's important to recognize that it was your own inner wisdom that guided you there. In many cases, it's smart to receive guidance from others, but what's most important is to learn to trust the guidance within you. The fifth message, compassion creates connection, drives home that you are the guru. The moment you shift your focus off judgment and onto compassion, you become the greatest teacher. A simple thought, action, or feeling of compassion has the power to realign your mind with love. Living with compassion is the greatest gift you can give the world because people will feel the ripple effect of your loving energy. You will give off a presence of inner peace and the welcoming energy of interconnectedness. Accepting that you are the guru isn't an excuse to make yourself better than others or the keeper of special gifts. It's your chance to recognize that everyone has that same power, that we all have the ability to tune into the source of divine inspiration and love. The primary reason for our suffering in this world is the perception of separation. Each of these messages is designed to bring you back to the truth that we are all loving spirits. When we claim that love within us, we can see other people suffering with compassion. We have a greater understanding of the crises in the world, and we learn to lean toward love no matter what. Being the guru means that love is your highest priority. It means that no matter what has happened in your life, you choose to lean toward love to feel free in the moment. If we all took responsibility for the guru within us, then we could radically shift the energy of the world. We could recognize the impact our thoughts, words, and actions have on every person and situation we encounter. We could settle into our own sense of safety and, as a result, make decisions from intuition rather than let ourselves be influenced by others. Each message in this Audible original has led you to this point of accepting your inner power. It's time to accept that you are the guru. You have been given an opportunity to gently remember your truth. Will you fall off track? Yes, of course. But in an instant, you can say any one of these messages out loud and immediately return to the truth. The simplicity of these messages is the gift. Memorize them. Teach them. Live by them. Each message realigns you in an instant, and the moments of realignment are what matter most. Whenever you disconnect from love, simply say any message out loud and you will come back home. Now let's take a moment to turn inward. Give yourself the chance to connect to the guru within. Accept this truth and let it move through you. If you're driving, return to this meditation when you're home. Gently close your eyes. Sit up straight and roll your shoulders back. Take a deep breath in and let your diaphragm extend. On the exhale, let your diaphragm contract. Breathe in and extend your diaphragm. Exhale and release. Breathe in deeply. Exhale completely. As you breathe in and out, allow these affirmations to sink in. The answers are within me. Breathe in. Breathe out. I can turn inward for answers. Breathe in. Breathe out. I trust my intuition. Breathe in. Breathe out. Creative solutions are available to me. Breathe in. Breathe out. In stillness, I receive clear direction. Breathe in. Breathe out. I am always being guided. Breathe in. Breathe out. I trust myself. Breathe in. Breathe out. I have faith in my life. Breathe in. Breathe out. All is well. Take a deep breath in and release. When you're ready, open your eyes to the room. As I finish this manuscript, we are months into social distancing and isolation due to COVID-19. I'm in my home with my husband and son for the foreseeable future. I'm nervous and sometimes terrified about what's coming. But deep down, all I can hear is that the answers are within me. I have amplified my spiritual practice more than ever. And most importantly, I have made it my commitment to live the messages. Each message brings me hope, faith, and a reminder of our true spiritual connection. I'm witnessing how these messages are needed now more than ever. I'm seeing clearly how we have to take responsibility for our own well-being and learn to rely on the guru within us. While I'm showing up every day as a committed teacher, the person I must teach most is myself. I have to walk my talk and live the messages in a whole new way. When your external sense of safety and security is taken from you, all you can do is remember that your true power lies within. Let these messages guide you. Turn to them daily, no matter how good or bad things are in your life. In fact, when life gets good, ramp up your practices even more. Living these messages will create positive energy and momentum in your life. Once you feel that momentum pick up, you'll want to reach for more of it. The more you live the messages and rely on these practices, the safer you will feel. Relying on your spiritual connection and inner wisdom resolves your fear, uncertainty, and discomfort. It offers you solutions, connection, and a sense of safety. Let the messages become second nature so you feel them in your soul. Be love and bring love with you wherever you go. You are the guru. This has been an Audible original, produced by Audible Originals, written and performed by me, Gabrielle Bernstein. Executive producers, Stacey Creamer and Kat Lambrix. Produced, edited, and directed by Sarah Cosa Paglusa. Mixed and mastered by John Dracy. Acquisition and development, Stacey Creamer. Vice President of Audible Studios, Mike Charzik. Editor-in-Chief, Audible Original Publishing, David Blum. Copyright 2020 by Gabrielle Bernstein. Sound recording copyright 2020 by Audible Originals, LLC.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.